please turn with me in your Bibles this evening. We'll be starting a new short series on the book of Jude. So turn all the way to the back of your Bibles. If you've hit Revelation, turn one page back, and you might miss it if you blink. Jude. This evening we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 of the letter of Jude. So hear now the word of God. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Let us bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious and almighty Father, we thank you for this small letter of Jude. We pray, Lord, that as we begin this series and we look at these first few verses, you would guide our hearts and minds this night. And we pray, Father, that you would bless my mind and my mouth, that I may think and speak clearly this evening. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we do pray. Amen. My family and I have been here in Seattle now for a little over 5 years, and October 5th was our anniversary, and we've changed in some ways over these past 5 years, but one way that I particularly have changed is through my interaction with Paul and Pat Perkins, and I no longer despise honeybees. As far as other stinging insects, I do not have all that much of a love for them still. And I can remember a time when I finished working at a shift at Starbucks, and it was during the summer. It was hot in Kansas City. It was humid. And I had opened that day, so I was very tired. And I walked into my room in the cool of the air conditioning, looking forward to taking a nap. And as I was getting ready to take that nap, just felt something very strange was in my room, like maybe I was being watched. And as I was beginning to turn around, this wasp came buzzing by my head, just like really, really close. And this sworn enemy of mine had just infiltrated my room. And I knew there was no way that I could get a nap in that instance. And so I did the only natural thing, and I just bolted out of my room and slammed the door until I found a can of Raid to go in and defeat this wasp. Now, you consider the situation, it's completely ridiculous. You know, it's a wasp, like this big, and I am this big. And but why did I run? You know, why did I run out of my room and slam the door? Well, in that instance, for a brief moment, I forgot the fact that I was a human being, fully capable of defending myself against a wasp, and my enemy was so small. I forgot who I was. I forgot that my enemy was so small. Well, as we look at this book of Jude, this letter of Jude, a very small letter, he is writing to a difficult situation. And as he opens in this greeting, what he's really doing is he's reminding his audience of who they are. He's reminding them of who they are in Christ and the love that has been shown to them. And as we look at these first two verses, the theme that we'll be looking at is, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you and me. For we are loved by the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. So may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to us, for we are loved by the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. So we'll be looking at these two verses and 3 points. In the first verse, we'll be looking at the opening line and considering the point, Jude, a slave and brother of Christ. Secondly, you who are called and are loved by the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, also in the first verse. Then lastly, in verse 2, may you rest more in the mercy, peace, and love of God. So first of all, Jude, a slave and brother of Christ. Now the name Jude is a common name. It's actually the exact same name as Judah and Judas. There's some debate on who this Jude actually is. Some think that he was one of the disciples and the apostles, that he was the other Judas. That, you know, Judas is mentioned, you know, Judas Iscariot. So to distinguish him, well, he's not that Judas. This is the other Judas. Luke, or in Luke's account of who the disciples are, actually goes so far as giving him a different name to distinguish between the two. And he's called Thaddeus in Luke's account, I believe. But then there's also other schools of thought for who this Jude might be. But the overall consensus is that this Jude who is writing this letter is the brother of Jesus, the brother of our Lord. If you look at Matthew 13:55 or Mark 6:3, you see that this is an instance where Jesus' earthly family had come and were in the vicinity. Actually, it was Jesus performing a miracle or teaching, and the crowd then is realizing, as he's in Nazareth, they're recounting, "Don't we know his family?" And so they say, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" And they list off, "You know, don't we know his sisters? And aren't his brothers here?" And they list first James, and then there's also Simon, and in that there's Jude, or Judas. So he's one of the it's common consensus is that this Jude here is that Jude. Actually one of the physical brothers of Jesus Christ. And evidence for this is also seen in just in how he describes himself or introduces himself. He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ, but then secondly, a brother of James. Now as he says, a brother of James, the assumption that he's making and that is that his readers and his those listening to the letter read would understand who this James is. It was a well-known James in the church. Now, we know from the book of Acts, in Acts chapters 12 and 15, and the councils that are described there, that a James stands up and he gives his input into the decisions that are being made. We also see this James as Paul comes to get his counsel in Acts chapter 21. This James is also referred to in Galatians, where Paul says in James or in Galatians chapter 1 verse 19, he calls him James, the brother of our Lord. So that James was a very prominent figure in the church. He was considered, you know, what we would call today the moderator of our synod, or the moderator of presbytery. He was leading those councils that are mentioned in Acts, and he had a prominent position in the early church in Jerusalem. And so as Jude here opens his letter, and he says, a servant of Christ Jesus, and brother of James. And so James, it is well known among the community. So if he says, if he's a brother of this James, who has been attested elsewhere, that this James is a brother of our Lord, stands to reason that this Jude, who is a brother of James, would then also be the Jude who is a brother of our Lord. So another thing he calls himself here is a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, this word servant here, the word that's used to translate and translated as servant, now, it's not the word that where we get deacon, which is also used as in terms of service or a servant. But this is the term that's most often translated as the word slave. It is a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, by using this term, it's a term used by the apostles as they write their letters. It's commonly used by them as a slave of Jesus Christ. James uses this also in his opening, that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, it not only shows the humility of the author, but In actuality, in using this term, it's also assuring their audience of the authority with which they speak. Now, it's a term of humility. They are rightly slaves of Jesus Christ. But if you consider a slave of someone who is prominent, a slave of a ruler, and they were given a task to deliver a message, those hearing that message were responsible to hear that message, not as simply the one giving it, but as the one who had sent them to do it. He was a slave of Jesus Christ. And he was addressing this church in that light. That these were not his thoughts or opinions. This letter is the word of Christ coming to this community and speaking to their situation that they were in. Now, one thing that I always am puzzled about by both Jude and then also James is that, as we know that, and as other scriptures attest, these are the biological brothers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They grew up with Jesus. They watched him as an older brother. They may have even grumbled and complained, like, well, he never gets in trouble. He never does anything wrong. They watched him, and they were a part of his daily life from childhood. And really, as if we take in consideration the whole, you know, order that Matthew and Mark give us of these brothers, if they're listed in kind of chronological order, Jude is one of the final brothers born. So what's most likely happened here, as Jesus was going through the tribulation, the trial of the cross, as he was handed over and being humiliated, that Jude is most likely just under 20 years old, probably in his late teens, watching his brother go through this. Now, one thing that kind of puzzles me is, if this is the case, why don't James and Jude use that to give more authority, more validity to their letters? Why don't they open up with, you know, James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jude, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I haven't found anything that really satisfies that question. But my thinking is that, you know, Jude and James are probably distancing themselves from Jesus in this light in some regards. Not taking on themselves some veneration of, well, these guys are the brothers of Jesus. They really need to listen to them. I think it's a humble acknowledgement of both James and Jude of knowing that, yes, they grew up in the same household as Jesus Christ. Half of their DNA was the same physical DNA that Jesus had. But there is a difference. You know, can you imagine the moment when James and Jude realized who their older brother really was? He was God incarnate. God in the flesh that they ate dinner with, that they wrestled with, that they ran around with, that they played with. And so in opening their letters, they focus more on the fact and exalting Jesus Christ and who he really is as the eternal Son of God, drawing instead attention to the fact that they are his slaves, not drawing attention to the fact that they are his physical brothers. But I want us to learn in this first point, brothers and sisters, that as Jude here opens this letter and he calls himself a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, bringing to the fact that, he himself being a brother of Christ. Know too that if we are in Christ, that we also are his slaves. He also is our brother. We are part of the household of faith, the household of Christ, the household of God. And as we consider ourselves as slaves of Christ, let it have the proper effect of keeping us humble, as we heard this morning. We need to be humble in Christ, submitting ourselves to him. But also let it bring us comfort in knowing that of who we represent, who we are slaves of. We're slaves of the King of Kings, the Creator, the Eternal God. So know that we are slaves of Christ, but also know that He is our brother. He is our older brother, the one who laid down His life for us, the one that we are to look to follow, to know how to live and conduct our lives. So know that we too are slaves of Christ, and Jesus is our older brother. This brings us to our second point. You are called, you who are called are loved by the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. As Jude continues his greeting, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Now, I want to focus, on the kind of the last half of this this part of the greeting, the beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, and go back to the called portion of it. The beloved in God the Father. As we consider this sentence and this phrase, there's a real parallel here that is going on. In the language that Jude is using here, it could be translated as those beloved in God the Father, but also could very well likely be translated as those loved by God the Father. As we consider how we are loved by the Father, think about Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where Paul says, while we were still, God's love is shown to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 9:13 quotes Malachi 1, verses 2 to 3, where God is talking to His people, and He's talking specifically to the leaders, and He says, I have loved you, and the response that He's kind of this give and take back, the response back, well, how have you loved us? And so God says that familiar phrase that Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, as we consider this, this love of God the Father that we have experienced, it is a love not based on anything that we have done. It's not a love based on any beauty or something desirable within us. It is love based upon a choice that God made. Paul is using the Malachi passage and quoting it in relation to the doctrine of predestination, and how before Jacob and Esau were even born, God said He loves Jacob, but Esau I hated. So when Jude here says loved by God, that's in relation to the called. Those who are called by Him. We are loved by the Father. And what this shows us is, it's common in a lot of circles to depict God the Father as, the angry, judgmental, vengeance of God, God of vengeance type God of the Old Testament, and causing a false distinction between the Old and New Testaments. And somehow in this light, Jesus then is the one who kind of comes in and forces the Father's hand away from inflicting condemnation upon us, and says, and then is all the God of grace and love. What passages like this show us is that the Father did not forgive us or withhold the punishment due to us begrudgingly. It wasn't that He despised doing it and was forced to do it. We were loved by God. And Jesus Christ stood in the way of the Father's wrath due for our sin, because Jesus did it willingly, and it was God's love displayed for us, and it was the love of the Father who desired to do it. It was His plan, His will, to pour out the wrath due to us instead upon Jesus Christ. So God God the Father's arm did not have to be twisted to pour out His wrath upon the Son instead of us. No, He loved us. And that is why he sent his son, so that his son would bear our condemnation for us. The second part of this phrase, the ESV has it kept for Jesus Christ. And that's, the reason it's translated in this way is to kind of, is to keep the emphasis here on God the Father. Kind of, it's God the Father that has loved us and chosen us. And here in reading it this way, it's also God the Father who is keeping us for Jesus Christ. That's fitting with the teaching of, as we are the bride of Christ being preserved and kept for him. The teaching in the Colossians, as all things were created by him and through him and for him. But if we look at the Greek of this text, the first phrase is paralleled exactly with that second phrase. So if we translate it as, loved by God the Father, if we just keep reading it in the same context, it's the exact same words, except, kept instead of loved, and Jesus instead of God the Father. So it's loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we consider this portion, this is what it means to be called, as Jude calls us. To those who are called, it means that we have been loved by God the Father from all eternity. And it means that we are being kept by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not merely being kept for him. You're being kept by him. He is the one who is preserving us. He is our King charging into battle, fighting on our behalf, subduing his and our enemies under his feet. He's keeping us. And as we consider what it is to be called the called of God, this will never change. If God has called us, He in his timing brings us out of darkness into light, showing us the love that he has for us. We are then continue to be preserved throughout our life until that great and glorious day when Christ comes again and we are made completely new and glorified in him. So if you are a slave and sibling of Christ, if you are called, know that you are loved by the Father. You are kept by the Son. This brings us to our third point. May you rest more in the mercy, peace, and love of God. Now, if you look at other letters in Scripture, a greeting like this is very common in some form or variation. As the difference here is, Jude using words like mercy instead of grace. In the triple way in which he greets them, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, as we consider this last phrase and this greeting to this church, when we consider the situation that we'll be looking at over the coming weeks, is that there are people here from the outside that had infiltrated this group. And Jude is writing to this community to challenge them and to charge them and to remind them of who they are in Christ. Now, as he begins this letter and considering the content of what he is about to write them, his prayer for them is that mercy would be multiplied upon them, that they would receive what he is about to say with merciful ears and hear it. His prayer is that peace would be multiplied upon them. That this divisive situation that has occurred among them would be removed and that peace would be restored. And that love would be multiplied to them. The common thinking is that this group of Christians were somehow abused by those that came in and stirred things up. So in contrast to the abuse that they had experiencing, that love instead would be poured out upon them. Well, how do we apply that to our situation? Well, as we consider these letters, or this letter here, in these words, may mercy, peace, and love be be multiplied to you. Hopefully we won't be in the situation that Jude is specifically speaking into in writing. But it's still in the situations that we face, in the trials and the tribulations that we face. You know, our prayer should be that mercy, peace, and love would be multiplied to us. And I don't know about you, but as I stop and I consider what we've just already talked about, and the fact that if we know Christ, if we're in Him, we are slaves of Jesus Christ, the fact that He is our brother in this relationship that we have with Him, the fact that if we are in Christ, if we are His slave and His brother or sister, we have been loved by God already, and we are being kept by Him. You know, as various circumstances and situations come into our life, regardless of what they are, you know, may this knowledge always bring us to rest more and more upon the clear mercy that has been shown to us through Jesus Christ, that peace that we have been given in Him, and the love that has already been clearly displayed and shown. May we rest more abundantly in these things. And in this way, may God's mercy, may His peace, may His love be multiplied abundantly to us. So knowing that we are called, let us then rest in the mercy, peace, and love of God. So tonight, brothers and sisters, Jude has reminded us of who we are in these opening verses. He's reminded us of who we are in Christ. We are His slaves. He is our brother. He has reminded us that from all eternity, God called us. He has shown His love and love to us, and it was clearly displayed upon the cross of Christ. And we are being kept by Him in this life. So with these truths of who we are before us, let then the mercy of God and His peace and His love be multiplied to us as we rest in these things that have so clearly been displayed through the work of Christ on our behalf. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You and praise You for the work that You have done for us. Lord, we thank You that we can be called slaves of Jesus Christ. For Lord, we were before Your work, before You redeemed us, we were slaves of the evil one, slaves of our own desires, of our own wickedness. But You broke those bonds of servitude, and instead You have given us Your yoke, which is an easy and light yoke to carry. And Father, we are brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been born of God through the work of Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You have adopted us as Your children. And Lord, we thank You that we are called by You. That You have shown to us Your great love. That You keep us in Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ for the great and glorious day when You return and You make all things new. May these truths of who we are, Father, help us rest day to day more and more in the mercy, peace, and love that has been shown to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.